Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello again.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome back to Babe.
A Razzle Dazzle Edition. It's Tierney.
And Lara. I love a Razzle Dazzle reference because it immediately makes me think of my favorite musical, Chicago.
Yeah.
Give them the old Razzle Dazzle.
If you're good to mama.
Mama's good to you.
I'm not even like a deep Chicago head, but I'm very here for it and clearly like love to groove to its songs, you know, but
best
I need
songs.
To rewatch.
Yeah, you need to rewatch. I need to rewatch about probably like once a year because I am a true Chicago
grounded.
Head. Yeah.
To I mean,
feel,
the cast
I feel
alone.
Fully grounded in my energy. The
yes.
cast. The
I might do that for the full moon.
I think
feel
you
good
should.
Ritual. That
we're talking about what we're, so today's the full moon. Which I don't know about you. I mean, you just told me that you had gotten an IUD, so I don't know what your cycle status is.
Yeah.
But my cycle is now fully aligned
with
the
full
moon.
Me as well.
Love. It feels really.
It used to be a new moon, but now it's
now
full.
It's full.
I think because I've really grown into myself.
Yeah, I feel like a mature, like powerful woman because last month on the full moon, my
you
period
broke.
Came. Flowing out and
the
then today
dropped.
As well and the beat, the mic drop
yeah
out of my vagina.
That's how I always feel when I get my period. I'm like, it dropped.
That's the new term, I think.
It's dropping Mine just stopped dropping, but it was a new moon centric. Yeah
I love that. So wait, yours. It stopped the drop on the full moon?
The full moon. Yeah, it stopped like around yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I went for the IUD insertion during the period, which is like a...
That can be more painful, right?
Well, I heard it was the more like... I didn't mean to do that anyway, but then I Googled it and it said that it used to be the only time that they did put them in.
Oh.
Because maybe it's like more...
You're more
loosey-goosey.
To quote Patty Stanger. You're bringing some deep cuts into this. I like it.
Right.
Your energy levels are great.
It's Sunday.
It feels like I love a podcast on a Sunday.
My first time. No, not true. Michelle and I used to watch some episodes of TV pilots, and then we would talk about them, and we did that on Sundays, but... It's more like a SoundCloud experiment. It's really not a proper podcast.
Well, check it out. Plug it.
Pilots with Tierney and Michelle. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, Google it. Yeah, being synced up makes me feel
hot. Earthy.
Yeah, in my power.
It makes you feel like
a feminine
desocialized
force.
From
yeah.
depression and at least gender-based.
Definitely. And like... So I'm excited. I hope this train keeps going.
I think it will.
Yeah, I think it will too. Wait, I want to know about your IUD experience because...
Transparency, just...
Healthcare is important to me.
Women's
health. But also, like, I've ghosted, I think, my gyno...
Appointment.
Twice, at least two times on an IUD. Like, scheduled the appointment.
I was really wanting to ghost. It's so funny.
Scheduled it and, like, had a whole talk, had them run my insurance, crunch the numbers, and then just, like, never showed. Didn't even call, nothing.
Definitely crossed my mind repeatedly the whole morning before. So you never had one?
I've never had one.
Yeah, I never had one, and I also have hardly ever been on birth control at all, you know? And I was just like... I don't know. It just seems fun to have some freedom. Like, why wouldn't I just try, right? Yeah. And then I never thought that I have Kaiser. I never thought that they had copper IUDs available. It's called a Paragard. So when I heard that they did, I like asked my mom. She works in gynecology. And she was like, yeah, we have that. The biggest reason I wanted to cancel the appointment or just like run out on the doctor was the idea of like how much it was going to hurt me or not. Mm-hmm. And then he was basically concentrating on how much it was going to hurt, like when I would get my period in the next month.
Yeah.
Which super scared me because I've never really had painful periods. And it's like, ugh. Like, I do have a lot of weed suppositories for your vagina and anus that would probably really help me out.
Ease it up.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't want to have – usually I just use those for fun, not because of, like, excruciating pain.
Wait, with the weed suppository for a vagina, can you put it in while you also have, like, a tampon in?
Yeah, you could put it in first.
Okay.
Because it's just, like, basically not a lozenge, a suppository, but of, like – it's like weed-filled coconut butter that's like, you know, it's almost like if you put it in your – if you kept it in your palm, it would melt. Okay. You know what I mean? So it's like dissolving in
you. So it like melts into your vagina and then just feels like chill.
Relief, yeah. People use them for like their lower back too. Like they put them vaginally or anally, but for back pain.
Love that.
Pretty chill. But I'm strapped with those if this does, in fact, prove super painful. But when it – so I got the copper one and it, when I was talking to my friend after, she was like, oh, so did they give you Xanax? And I was like, no. She was like, oh, well, did they give you like numbing cream or a numbing, like, did you have to swallow something, you know, that was supposedly like, and I was like, no, I just opened my legs. It sounded like she went to like a diva hospital and got to be like all jacked up and loose. And then they just put it in and it was fine.
But yeah, but then you have to pay for all that stuff on top. I'm pretty sure if they like dose you in some way that like goes into the whole process. I'm like,
I got high.
You're like, I was at my regular elevated state.
Yeah,
where literally. Pain is but an idea.
Yeah, exactly. Like
that I may choose to entertain or not.
Pay attention inside now. That's what my friend Tina told me.
Pay attention means. Inside now.
Yeah.
Love that.
So I was paying attention inside my little head and it felt like it made me feel super tripped out on like the potentiality of childbirth and like sensations. Like one of my sensations that was kind of giving me a giggle while it happened was like, what is my ass and what is my vagina? Like it was sort of became like a one plane of discomfort and I was just like feeling out of control. And it just felt like I was getting a cervix piercing.
Love that. Punk.
Yeah, exactly. I wish I had pics.
So it's like a fast, like a little like pinch kind of, and then it's over.
My friend Jessie, who said that she had like got to be really chemically relaxed for hers, she said it felt like getting struck by lightning.
Dramatic.
And when she said that, I squealed in like resonance because it's kind of like it's more obviously I don't want to make light of getting struck by lightning, knock on wood, but it's just like
all you lightning victims out there not trying to
screech on Saved by the Bell. He got hit struck by lightning twice, not in real life.
Oh, okay. I was like
she was
oh my
like
God.
Worried about Dustin
I was
Diamond.
Really worried. Yeah.
But yeah.
Have any readers ever been struck by lightning? Because like actually please write in. I need to know.
It felt like just like a massive, like, it felt like when you have to change the mode on a TV and you go from like the show to like the black and white grain and then it's like, it's like that over your entire abdomen.
Okay.
Lower body.
Like the white noise.
Yeah. It's just like feels like everything is like, it's like a chaotic.
Because it's you're not used to anything going through your cervix, like in that direction.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's like it recalibrates you somewhat.
Yeah. It really sets it off.
Yeah. Now you're fully
different mode, sicko mode.
Yeah. You're
now,
in copper mode.
Yeah. I'm in copper mode and it's repelling the shit out of semen.
Love. It just like turns it away. It's like
it's
nope.
Like spermicide.
Yeah. I've always loved the term spermicide.
Right. But it sounds like it's the opposite of what it is.
Like, it sounds like it kills sperm.
To me, it sounds pro sperm.
Really? It always sounded but really anti-sperm. But I guess if you know the word,
it's like, yeah.
Yeah, like I remember being young and reading Cosmo and just like having so much knowledge of like birth control vehicles, but like also being too young to ever even need to like using it. Like, oh, I was like God, probably 12 years old or something.
Oh my God. I would go to the market and like while my mom shopped, we would go to Vaughn's like every single day, and because it's right next to my house, and we knew everyone there. So I would just sit with the checkers, and they would like tell me about their marriages and like kids and shit. And I would get every magazine, and I loved forms and writing, so I would fill out every form and get all these subscriptions. And then all the sexy parts and even birth control stuff was sexy to me. I would cut out and put in like I had like a folder of like informational erotica from all these magazines, and it's probably still in my
bookshelf somewhere. You created like a library for yourself of references. I remember when I was looking through the options of IUDs and stuff and reading about the copper versus hormone, they both seemed like very equally terrifying, but then the idea of a copper causing a more painful period, I was like, that would be the exact thing that I'm trying to get rid of.
So exactly.
So I feel like, I don't know how it works though.
And like, that's how the doctor lobbies you too, because they're like, people are obsessed with the hormonal IUD because then their periods basically go away altogether.
I don't really want that.
But that's what we're like how we're saying, like taking pride in our flow being synced to the moon. Like,
yeah, like I want that. Fully synced up with nature, standing in my power as a woman, and I can't with a hormone infusion.
No, I cannot handle my. I won't have anyone to fuck if I have any increased mood swings.
No, it's not. It's a journey that I like mentally, emotionally, physically can't embark on.
No,
because things hang in such a delicate balance as is.
Well, even when you're on birth control, you said you thought you were pregnant still.
Yeah, like, when I was
the hormones.
I went on birth control for like 3 months in a long-term relationship, and the perks were, there were two perks. One was come inside anytime.
Yeah.
Two was my boobs got like a full cup size bigger, I would say. Like, into, for me and my, like, for what they are now, which is small, it felt, like, very
different.
Voluptuous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt erotic.
Yes.
To, like, put on a bra and have your boobs, like, spill, like, cleavage, like, spilling out. It was, like,
you're like
a whole new world. Yeah, plump. So I put up with, like, the depressive... Succulent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put up with the depressive side effects of that for maybe like a month longer than I should have, because I was just like so enjoying having these tits.
Yes.
But then I really had to ask myself, like, do I value tits over my own life?
Well, you also picked this birth control up at like CVS, right? Like,
This was from my doctor, but then I went back because I was like, look, I want to be as hot as I possibly can, and I want huge tits again.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get a boob job because A, I can't afford it.
Yeah.
And B, like, it's just like not my journey. I could take birth control and like, I'm on, I think at the time I was like on Prozac or Zoloft, and I was like, I'm on antidepressants, so it's fine. Whatever happens, like, I can weather this storm in service of my boobs. Mm-hmm. And then 4 days into that journey, I like fully just like threw up the flag and was like, no, this is not happening.
Yeah. Done.
It makes me fully insane.
Abort.
Yeah. Aborted. I'm pro-choice when it comes to birth control and pro-life when it comes to my life versus birth control.
I also just feel like birth control is so annoying because you, like, as women, we're supposed, like, not supposed to, but we're still in a position years after, like, so many things have been available to us in terms of reproductive health. Like, we're still in always a position to defend them or, like, you know, defend our right to access them in really easy ways. But at the same time, like, so many aspects of birth control as it exists right now are annoying. You know what I mean? And like, hormonal birth control is super shoved down like every teen girl with a heavy period's throat, and like,
yeah, That was like,
I don't think
thing
that's really
that you,
like healthy, like in terms of your libido, in your besides, yeah, your emotional health, your libido. Like, I feel like a lot of women, I've read things where, you know, they feel like they're never horny their whole like young teen, early 20s life. And it's mm-hmm. because they've literally been on birth control since they're 16 or something. And like, yeah, it just has changed their chemistry.
Yeah. It's weird to think about like being a teenager and just being like, always fascinated by like the day I could get birth control or yeah. like, because I always had heavy periods, but then I remember just being like 15 years old and looking my mom in the eye and being like, I need to get on birth control yeah. and feeling like really
sticking
like
it to her.
Yeah, being like, I am gonna fuck.
You're like, are you getting fucked? Because I am.
Yeah, I'm about to be. I'm curious.
If we don't get this quick, we're gonna have another problem.
Yeah. I've always had like this long-standing fear of getting pregnant, and like in my most anxious moments can just convince myself as such.
Like a proper fucking
like a
freak,
full psycho.
Superstar.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like a full like Roman Polanski heroine in a movie.
Totally.
Like vibe.
Yeah.
And even when I was on birth control in a long-term relationship like a couple years ago, for the first, even it was a short period of time, but I remember just being like, my boobs were hurting, and when and I was like I'm pregnant now, probably. Like, this probably didn't work, and like, now you're gonna have to, like, this is something we're gonna have to think about together, and like, so just like think about that, because I'm gonna go get a pregnancy test, and like, I'm gonna be seeing about this.
This is something I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
So figure out how you're gonna deal with it.
I just want you to be conscious of what I'm going through as a woman who is like now not only had to go get on birth control, but
for
also
you.
For you, for us, but now
for us.
It's malfunctioned and I'm likely with child.
And now what about my career?
Yeah.
My health.
What about my life? And it was like,
you
bitch, you are not pregnant whatsoever.
You're
literally just like torturing someone.
I am sort of jealous of like being psychotic about pregnancy. Like, when I was little, I loved 90210. And the first person I know to fake a pregnancy was Valerie on that show.
Which one was Valerie?
Tiffany Amber Thiessen, who like, she's... If people don't know, she's one of my most long-term idols.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Both aesthetically and just vibesing, like as both Kelly Kapowski and Valerie. Like, Valerie on 90210 moved from Minnesota to Beverly Hills like a few seasons in when Brenda was leaving.
Okay.
To go be like, you know, she came to Beverly Hills and was like a farm girl, or, you know, she's from Buffalo, New York, not Minnesota, sorry. And she was being like, oh, I'm a family friend. Oh, big house, like all marveling. And then at the end of the episode, she lights a joint and calls her friend and is like, it's amazing here. And she's a bad girl. And
yeah.
She fakes a pregnancy to get the attention of a man who she's having an affair, a married man who she's having an affair with that she's obsessed with. And so she fakes a pregnancy, like, not, she gets money and stuff out of it, but really it's for like the attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like when I write a new teen soap, that the more interesting fake pregnancy inspired by you too is like to fake being pregnant for your mom more than like the man or like your parents,
like to like freak them out.
Yeah. Like, or just to extort, like
to punish them, to
attention, resources, punishment. Like,
yeah.
A variety of, you know, motivations, mm-hmm. but it would be like what I want to explore next.
Yeah. I love a taking a parent to task over that. I feel mm-hmm. like my sister did that when she was home for Thanksgiving, was like made a pregnancy joke. And according to her was like, my mom was like, and then she said that she was just kidding. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I feel like my mom would be probably excited
happy,
if
right?
one of us was having a baby.
Yeah, I'm sure she would, because none of you do, right?
None of us do. And I think that she wants, like, to have...
Well, especially you have, like...
a grandchild.
There's, like, four of you, right?
And, mm-hmm. it's like, and we're all just, like...
Yeah. Barren, like...
I know. We're like, it's never happening. Which I also feel, like, sad. Like, I feel sad about a little bit.
Do you feel like your siblings want children, though?
I don't think so. None of them have expressed that to me.
And you don't seem like...
I'm not like
hands in the air. I mean, yeah, I've heard you talk hands about in like, the air. Like ready. Like
no, I'm certainly put not your ready. Hands in the air. Who wants a baby? Put your hands in the air. Who wants to get pregnant?
I'm like, woo, never mind. I'm
everybody, I'm like,
everybody clap your hands. Damn, like I hope, yeah, I don't know. I just love babies too, but I don't want to be the kind of baby haver that does so to like ground themselves in their relationship.
No.
Or just ground themselves, period. And while I think that I have like consistently shown up for myself and like only achieved like better levels of like mental health, confidence, grounding, like creative time, whatever, whatever, there's still a part of me that feels constantly like unsoothed, you know, and I don't want like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to have a baby so that my boyfriend, so that I know my boyfriend will be next to me and love me.
Yeah, no.
Because that- I don't even know, like, I don't even know what I think about anything in terms of like long-term relationship models or like, you know.
No, I go so back and forth with like what it is that I truly want out of a relationship in the first place. And like, I wouldn't want to have a baby. Like I have like my best friend has like always wanted a baby and has just been like vocal about that and is like making the steps to have that happen in like the next few years. And I'm like, I think that's really cool to like just know what you want and like plan to get it. And for me, I've never had that about like having kids.
Yeah.
Like, and if that was to happen or if it happens in the future, like I'm open to that, but like it's not something that I feel like super compelled by. So I just have to be able to say for me right now, like it's not my path. And maybe that my window of having a baby, like by like my biological window will like close, but then I'll get that urge and I can do it in some other way.
Yeah, totally.
Because it's like there are tons of kids around.
I just do believe in the law of attraction and manifestation, and like I am around so many babies lately and I'm so down. I so love them, and like I feel like people are sort of surprised that I am as much like into that for myself as I am. But I don't want to have that to like feel a new way now. I'd rather like get a trainer or like, you know, like.
Yeah, I have a lot of things I'd rather spend money on than like a child.
In order to feel better about myself emotionally or something.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like having a baby is like, or having kids is like being on meth or addicted to meth. Uh-huh. And you just never get a break from it.
Yeah.
Like instead of having a drug addiction to deal with, you just have like
a baby addiction.
Another life to deal with.
Totally. And that's why so many addicts have kids right after. Do you know what I mean though? Like,
oh my
really
God.
Do.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't even think about that.
That's what I mean. Like I know so many like crazy ass, not to use crazy as a stigmatizing term, but just, you know, really open-minded and wild friends and women I've encountered over the years, like many of them have babies, and I think it's done them a lot of good. So it's not, you know, who knows? Yeah. There's no logic behind anything, but just like I want to feel like I'm having a baby in a time where like I won't resent having a baby.
Yeah.
And I definitely haven't like traveled globally enough with willy-nilly.
Yeah.
You know, because like my mom, like, I mean, the model of like great moms that I know are 100% obsessed with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that there's like work-life balance and all those different like more modern, you know, balances to achieve that are really good too. But like the most of the moms I know are just like, it's just mom mode all the time. And like their needs are so not important.
Yeah. You're giving of yourself to everyone else around you and no one is giving back to you, and you don't even have time to give back to yourself. And that does not seem very attractive to me.
Yeah. I just feel like I could do that one day and I'll get a lot of joy from that.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's something about me that really is maternal, and I like to like
You're a nurturer.
Yeah, I like to serve and care for someone. And I also have been so nurtured. Like, I'm still nurtured by my parents so much. And I'm like, I'm down to like pay it forward, you know? But I think that like makes it that much more of a commitment that I perceive or something. So yeah, like as were the camel yonis in Egypt, my yoni is protected from semen by this copper IUD. So
wait, tell the readers why this like camel, tell them the origin of camel. So full disclosure, we had done this podcast and I have a new computer and I thought that all my recording stuff was like kosher.
We got quinned.
And things really fell apart because I looked at the computer and it had cut off within like 4 minutes of starting recording. And so now...
So I'll introduce you to a character we chatted about. Yeah, we were having fun, I gotta say.
We were having a lot of fun.
We still are.
We still are, but like, you know, I'm a perfectionist and when things
We know.
Yeah.
Now you do too. So my friend Labana, her name is Labana Babylon, and she is someone who's like...
I need to look her up.
Yeah, because I don't want to just like put words for her that don't, you know, comply with how she describes herself right now. But basically, she's like a divine feminist, like radical femininity, sacred sexuality, like whorship, Mother Earth, like alien vulva power sphere. And I know she one time put like lots of acid into her vagina and like tripped and communicated with aliens and like had a whole thing. And I hadn't seen her in years and I haven't talked to her in like some time either.
I just followed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Does she have a bio?
Yeah. Let me find.
I feel like I'm just sort of having fun with descriptions that I know I've read and she's...
Labana loves you. Destroy all limitations in love. 777.
Yeah,
I'm in for whatever journey. This
she's
is.
Amazing. She's about she's to take mystic us on. Angel. I knew her in LA, but she lives in the South now, and I think that's where she's from. I know it's where she's from, but it was super good synchronicity, and I felt really supported by the universe because we hadn't spoke for so long. And the day of my IUD insertion, she hit me up on Instagram, like she responded to one of my stories and I was, you know, she was just like, how are you? And I'm like, I'm good. I just got an IUD because I know that she's someone who appreciates feminine experience and probably would be knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing because she was like, oh, I've had the copper IUD for like, I think she said 8 years. Like, it's been amazing. No problems. I love it. And I was like, oh, that's amazing to hear because, you know, when I was already in like a vulnerable position ready to get the procedure, the doctor really wanted to switch me to the hormonal kind and the mood stuff, you know, and I didn't want to not have a period, blah blah blah. And she was like, no, like they found copper IUDs and camel yonis in ancient Egypt, like you're good, you know.
Love
that made me feel so grounded and connected to sort of ancestral me and like
going all the way back to Egypt.
I would rather
pyramids.
Have that, and I just think it's interesting, you know, it's like, yeah, like we want to have access to birth control, but like then you have like a male doctor really lobbying you to not have a period and to not, you know, not use this much older form of contraception in order for like the new techier version, like the arm strips and implants. Have
I don't
you seen
trust
those?
That at
That's
all.
So crazy.
That's crazy. I like would not. I just like have
it's not
a
even
real
in your
aversion.
Wrist. It's like in your like what no, is that called like bicep forearm or yeah, like
or
it's
something.
Like in the middle of your arm.
Yeah, I'm just like. I just am. I don't like birth control. I'll say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
I can deal with like condoms, and that's fine for me. But like when it comes to anything else, I'm just like stay away from me.
Totally. And so we'll see. You know, like.
And I'd heard like my I'd heard stories about like the IUD like strings poking
dicks right?
Which I kind of love because it's like.
Ha ha, claws.
That's me and you'll get
but
tortured.
It's also like, bitch, I got this for our pleasure. So.
Yeah, so like, let's.
I mean, they told me not to have sex for a week,
mm-hmm.
but I had sex today because I Googled and some people said it 24 hours
That's
is fine.
True.
Or
I think
like,
trust your
or
body.
Like 3 days. Mm-hmm. My body wanted it.
Your body was saying, give me more.
I got more than ever.
You got more than you bargained for.
Yeah. But I was like, the doctor said to go slow, which the doctor didn't say.
That's sexy.
But I didn't want to say, the doctor said you might feel copper rods in your dick. So, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like if he was just, like, pounding it out, it could be right, more easily. Right, from the get-go,
yeah. You don't want to, like, dislodge.
And also with, like, the timing thing, yeah. So, I'm like, you have to go slow.
I like the thought of, like, erotic
IUD
talk.
We had it.
The doctor said you have to go slow.
And then, like, I had, like, a bruise on my arm from, like, the blood test or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm already laying there with him, and he's like, what's that? And I'm like, from the doctor. But this is what's so fucked up. Like, what are we desperate for? Attention?
Attention and, like, drama.
Nurturing. Also,
I love when, like, whenever I get blood drawn, and this is, like, a psychotic thing, but just, like, in my head, I'm really into the drama of, like, any sort of mark in a intravenous way.
Yeah, you're like,
I like, yeah, well, I could be, like...
Oh, like, you think maybe people think that I'm using...
Maybe they think that you're using or have, like, a track mark.
If only they looked under my toes.
I'm like, they'll never know my truth.
They won't know.
And I'm like, you never know. Maybe.
I get a lot of love, so I don't know why I'm so thirsty for more. But I also think that, like, I have some, like... I have leftover, like, party girl shame or, like sexy fun. I don't know. Like, I haven't been in that many, like, committed relationships. So exploring the boundaries and benefits of a partner who, like, I know really loves me is sort of, like, something that I could be sick about if I wanted.
Sometimes it's, like... Fun. Sometimes it's fun to torture a lover in that way.
Sometimes it's also fun to actually be vulnerable or like, do you know what I mean? Because I think like in most instances in my life, I would like not talk about anything related to like, I mean, I'm here talking about it too, but like, I'm not always one to real. I share a lot and I feel like Babe inspired this for me too. It's like, I share a lot and I always have in a way, but in a very carefully like, you know, like, I'm really vulnerable about certain things, but I'm not just, like, generally an open book, I feel like. Like, I don't usually talk about bruise and periods and, like, these aspects of my bodily functions. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm in such a committed relationship, I'm just so confident and, you know.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't, like, it's helped me be more forthcoming about that kind of stuff. Because obviously I have those conversations like about bruises with my friends and whatever. Yeah. But it's fun to like put it out there and then have people respond to it.
I mean,
which is like
astoundingly so.
Yeah. Like every like I love that's one of the things I love the most about doing this podcast is just like it confirms that I'm not alone in basically like any of my life experiences, which I think is really important for just like processing things that happen to you or just like shit that you go through.
Totally.
But also it's like,
please only share positive IUD stories. If you have them,
no negative,
don't tell us bad ones unless it's astounding.
You can do, unless it's like truly like a wild roller coaster, insane ride that you want to take us on, feel free to email babepodcast@gmail.com. But like, if not, keep it to yourself. Because everyone, I did enough Googling to like find the horror stories I was looking for reasons to like ghost my doctor and not get the IUD.
But then also I love it because some of the advice they give is like, just reach in and feel for the, I'm like, dude, like, I am a freak. I am so sexually available to whoever I choose to fuck. And like, I love doing so many things, but in my own time, I can't reach and like, I don't know. It's not my own issue. It's like, I don't even, that's how I felt about the IUD thing too, is like, what is even my body? Like, I felt like I had really had to like inhabit a space. I don't know. Like, I'm suddenly like accountable for my body now, I guess, because I have that, but just like, I'm not accountable in a way where I'm like, oh, breast exam, and now I'm going to put my hand in and reach for the top of my cervix. Like, where?
Yeah. It just feels like it's like another thing to like, have to take care of where it's like, why can't there just be a birth control option that's like easy or that
men,
does not troll? Yeah.
I
or
feel
for
like
men.
That's gonna come. I mean, they always are developing birth control for men. Like, shots, I think, was one of them.
Shots was one of them.
But I mean, I think men would be down to take it if they, I mean, I don't think men want the burden of being responsible for that because they literally like feel close to none unless they're in a really committed relationship in which they feel like responsible for what happens between the two of them. But like, I feel like a new generation of guys could really enjoy just like fucking for sport and knowing that it's not going to go anywhere, you know, because for women, at least we never, at least we always know if we have a baby or not. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for men, it truly is like, it's rare, but probably not as rare as I think to just like find out later on that you have a kid.
Yeah. I'm a huge advocate for male birth control.
We are ready to donate.
I'm like, y'all 1% deal with it.
Of babe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like ready funds to go to fund male birth me control. To, if you find a charity or an organization yes. that's raising capital.
And not Pfizer.
And not, thing. No, not like big pharma, like corrupt, whatever.
We want mom and pop male yeah, birth control.
Small business owners yeah. who are developing male birth control, sign me the fuck up because yeah. I'm ready.
It seems like if they wanted to, they could. So mm-hmm. show us what you got.
Yeah, like the like I feel like this past few weeks, like I've been getting off of medication and then getting on like a new medication for mm-hmm. depression. So it's like thrown me into that, coupled with Mercury retrograde yeah. and like the impending full moon and my uh-huh. PMS yeah. waiting for the beat drop.
Yeah.
Threw me into like a spiral of like one like trying to like come to terms with my body or like how I yeah. want to like care for my body, what I think Ugh. About my body
yeah.
Ugh, and like
worst topic
yeah and like self-love and like body acceptance and stuff and uh-huh. then just like self-esteem because I totally. Think whenever I mean when you're depressed and when I'm depressed it's like that goes right out the window.
Yeah.
And then it's like a cycle of feeling like shit and then doing things to make myself feel more like shit. And there's like oh a punishment God. Whole thing that right. happens. And so now I feel like the beat dropped, the moon is full.
That's what I love about having a period is like emotionally when the beat drops, it like makes me feel like, like released.
Yeah.
I shall be released.
Yeah. Wait, I need to talk about Burning Man because it's taken over my I don't know
you're getting ready.
Well, I'm like mentally preparing for to yeah. have a good burn, but like in my feed there are so many people that are like posting throwbacks of last Burning Man and mm-hmm. lamenting the fact that they can't be there this year, but like and then just being like wishing everyone love and light on the playa, like have a great burn and like posting just like it's an excuse to post like hot pics.
Yeah. Have a great burn is so good.
It's so good. Everything is like Candace Swanepoel loves Burning Man.
I'm so proud of how much these people transform there.
She transforms into just like love, light, wow. weed, like
fishnets,
Rasta vibes.
It's just to dress Mad Max.
It's right? to dress Mad Max and then like
erotically.
Erotic Mad Max. Yeah. yeah. It's like there's a store down the street from my apartment that I don't know.
There's quite a few.
There's so many, but there's one specifically that's like sells only like elaborate Burning Man outfits that must cost like thousands
feathery
of dollars.
Feathery ones or
glitter
like
glitter with like helmets.
Some are like really utilitarian, right?
Yeah, some are not.
What do you mean? Glittery like with helmets?
Yeah, oh, like glittery and then a matching helmet with your like feathers, like crazy acid freak, like angel glitterati.
I like the last part, yeah. angel glitterati freak, but.
Like, I would love to go to, like, if I'm going to go to Burning Man, I need a stylist to yeah. like get involved and create some looks. I need a trailer where I can just go recalibrate and sit that has air conditioning and like full shower capabilities yeah. and like comfy bed. Uh-huh. Like, I don't understand.
We want a Burning Man themed photo shoot.
Yeah.
In a controlled condition.
In a controlled condition where
I like
you.
When girls look full Victoria's Secret angel at Burning Man.
How do they do that?
Yeah.
How do they, where are they showering? That's what I'm wondering when I'm looking at like
they're
sexy
not,
people's they're... Burning Man content. Mm-hmm. Like all the Victoria's Secret angels that go or models or like the older Hadid sisters. Like what, how do they clean themselves? Because they look
the
really.
The older Hadid sisters.
Have you not followed?
No, I've looked.
You're aware of.
I don't follow, but
Lanzi Bear and Marielle, Mama Marielle.
Aren't you obsessed? Like,
I'm obsessed with Lanzi Bear.
It's basically the same social personal dynamic as like Kardashians with Kendall too. Like they get like,
yeah,
out of nowhere, baby sis lands you fashion.
Yeah, and it's kind of like. What I love about them is like they're so rich that it doesn't like I don't think that they feel any sort of resentment.
No.
It's just like, oh my God, Bella and Gigi are so cute. Totally. Like it's really, I love that. And then like I'm going to go to Greece. It's
not resentment as much as like, oh yes, now we get more of like these little social experiences that they still do value more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's,
like,
it's a blessing.
Yeah.
But if that happened to me and like my little sister turned into a literal supermodel, I'd be like,
mad.
But then I'd try and like get on that somehow.
Totally.
I'd be like, can I
it only lasts that long.
Well, yeah, yeah. No, I'd be like, now you owe me big time.
Yeah, or like, who do you trust more than me?
I know, like, who's been there for you recently? Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
But Lanzi Bear lives lives the most glamorous life.
Yeah.
She's like 6 foot one. Which well, I also why, like, love.
They probably, they all have, right? Like, even the house Yolanda lived at, I know it's separate, but like on Real Housewives, like that house is one of the nicest reality TV houses ever.
Yeah.
Like in Malibu, like
infinity pool to the ocean, like that just overlooks a cliff and then you see the ocean is a luxe.
They're just like racking in extras, you know?
Yeah.
They're probably tired.
Lanzi Bear, I don't know exactly what she does, but I love what she does. And I think she's working.
Buyer.
Yeah. Ugh, a buyer. That's the ultimate.
Bitches love being a buyer.
The ultimate rich girl job.
Yeah, which is hot.
It's hot. I remember a friend of mine from boarding school, we were like talking about what we wanted to do with our lives at one point. And she was like, I just want to be a buyer for like Neiman's or something. And I was like, how does one become a buyer? Right.
She's like, I just have a really good eye.
Yeah.
And I buy a lot of stuff. So
I've gotten really into like sometimes I'll go into like a Instagram K-hole of looking at like all the Voguettes and like who's working there because I know one.
That's cool.
There's a girl from Oklahoma City who is like an editor at Vogue now that was like, she went to one of the private schools. There were like three private schools. She went to like a rival private school of mine, but she also like came from like a insanely wealthy family. Like it's, and I just like look at them and I'm like, it's so that. It's just like, you were able to have an internship here for like 4 years unpaid, but also be chic enough to like make it work.
Yeah. And dress up every day.
Like. Dress up every day. Have the best style. I think she has short hair.
Yeah. Perfect. Long-term potential there.
Yeah. But then I just like, and then it's easy once you get in to then just go around and like see who socializes with whom. And
they
like,
they all have a lot of followers. Like,
they have, like, medium amount of followers. Mm-hmm. It's, like, they could go anywhere from, like, 10 to 20K.
Really posting them.
Yeah, no. They, like have
writers
their own.
Don't get tagged in Fashion Mag.
No, you know? Writers never get
tagged. At least
tag.
Ones like that.
Mm-hmm. But then there was, like, this jewelry editor that I used to, like, look at every
That's
once in a while.
That's such a hot job. That's so funny.
I know.
Right?
And then I was, like, jewelry. I want to get into, like, jewelry.
Yeah. You're like, that kind of reminds me of chakras.
I love like fine jewelry.
Yeah.
I was like, I think I really like, appreciate like gems. Really nice gems.
Sapphires, rubies. It sounds so
emeralds.
Fun.
Yeah. And she was just always post like her hand with like create like millions of dollars of rings on it and be like, did I shoot for like W, like I think she went from like Vogue to W and then, but it was just like, she was just like,
she probably has
writing about jewel, like choosing out what jewels seem cool to put in a magazine. That's like a legitimately
providing
great job.
Jewel recommendations.
Yeah.
Is so funny too.
Also like,
I just wonder
how
shows.
Much you get paid for that.
Like, she's $30,000 a year.
Yeah. 35 before taxes.
But they're wearing a mill and
yeah.
It's so weird. I don't know. Like, obviously, I fantasize about that whole scene and culture because mm-hmm. I think it's like a very sensible route that I like kind of could have taken or yeah. maybe thought I would have at times or something.
Or maybe in could terms still. Of
journalism. Yeah. Like, it's just interesting. Just like knowing myself, I don't know. Number one, I value money. Mm-hmm. So, like, that kind of description is like, yeah, like, I just feel like all those people work so hard and care so much, but, like, I don't know.
But they're not getting, like, paid in the way that you would hope to
get
paid.
I would be annoyed to be around so much glamour all the time and not feel as though I was equitably compensated for my massive amounts of labor.
Yeah. And I feel like it's, like, for those types of gals, they probably don't care because they don't need the money anyways. So it's totally. More of like a hobby job.
Yeah.
And then it's like really fun. And the paycheck is like, oh, now I have lunch money or something yeah. like that.
Nice dinners.
Yeah. Nice dinners. Spa. Yeah. Or like a massage. Extras. Yeah. And so, yeah. And it just feels like such this like exclusive world.
I feel like it will change or it's changing.
Oh, I definitely feel because like
especially
it's changing.
These publications like online, a lot of them have way more like diverse and interesting staff. I mean this is at least what I feel like, but I'm not like studying who works each place, you mm-hmm. know, but it just seems that like then like the core of their like print like legacy brand is still so the same, you
yeah
know what I mean
mm-hmm.
like how would you describe this woman from Oklahoma style?
Just like simple, chic, like always looks, they all always just look good.
Yeah.
And like with nice, it's just like nice, expensive clothes and shoes, mm-hmm. very clean makeup, like not anything too wild.
More spa treatments.
Yeah.
Right?
More spa treatments, just like glowing skin. They just like put together and yeah, chic.
Totally.
Yeah.
Beauty editors. That's my. Any beauty editors listen to this?
That's
Let's
your beat.
Connect. I want to write for this beat.
Any jewelry
Literally,
editors?
Literally, my beat is my beat. It should be that.
Have you ever had like an astrologer, like one-on-one moment?
Not with an astrologer.
Or like a psychic shaman, like yeah. someone like that?
Yeah, yeah, I have.
What did with they tell you about your like career?
What a good question. I'll be honest. It's one person who I've seen more than mm-hmm. once. And like when I first met her, she was telling me like stuff about writing and then obviously didn't know anything about me, you know what I mean? And then I actually never saw, because I'm a Capricorn and I care about this work thing so much, I guess, like mm-hmm. more than I'm ashamed to let on how much I care about career stuff, I think.
But it's clear in a cool way.
Yeah.
I'm not like Tierney's career obsessed. Like yeah. some people do that and it's like sharky or feels like yeah. icky, but you do it in a chill.
Yeah. I'm definitely not
passionate
trying to
way.
Like, I'm not a social climber or anything. I'm not like swarmy.
Mm-hmm.
I just am like hot and yeah. marketable, bitch. So like, come on. Okay, so I didn't go to a psychic or intuitive person ever until I was beginning a job that felt that I was off. It began as like a short-term consultant kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and it was offered to become a full-time, sign on to the company, benefits, like real job. And I'm like 23 or something. I don't know. Yeah, like 23, I think. And I just, not that that matters, but I was just like, literally, I don't know what the fuck. Like, I felt like I have so many interests and I love storytelling in so many ways, blah, 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 that like, I was very honored and excited about that opportunity. But I also felt like, is this a pivot from like what I should be doing? Or is this, you know, is this going to trump over like other stuff I want to do?
Yeah.
So I went to the intuitive reader. And she was like, yeah, she told me something about writing and she was like, you're experiencing something right now that you feel is going to, prevent your creative growth, but actually it's going to inspire you a lot and it's going to allow for more creative growth. So mm-hmm. like think positively about it. And I heeded her words mm-hmm. and that was really good. And in terms of like other just stuff, like she'll be like, oh, I see you on a network. I see you broadcast journalism. I could be way more well-spoken than I am on this podcast. I don't know. She taught, because I feel like I grew up with a lot of financial instability, like a lot of access to really nice things and nice experiences and nice of all different types, but meaning like, you know, I knew different class experiences really well because I felt like we were probably of a lower class than like a lot of my family or mm-hmm. stuff, you know what I mean? So I was always like, I always had access to a lot of range of experience, you know, and I feel like I'm really grateful that I have really been like making money for myself in the last few years. And yeah. When that all sort of began, it's like you feel so relieved to finally like earn a decent living, you know, and be supportive to yourself or whoever you want. But yeah, like, I don't know. You're also kind of waiting for the other foot to drop, or like you feel like, I don't know, a whole nother set of like issues you need to process. And so I love the person that I see because she always tells me like you will earn money, like, ugh. Like, and then she's like interrupted other parts of the reading to be like, really just relax about money. Like you will be
chic.
Yeah. So I think about that basically every day. So
you're going to get the bags.
I got the bag. You got the bag. Big bags, big bank.
Big bank theory.
That's my new show, me and YG.
Yeah, that's your like first album drop. Yes.
I'm probably going to become a singer, and that's how you should actually monetize in the way that I want, and also connect with people in the way that I'd like to intimately.
I need you to do more music videos. So, like, I need that's you to how, be a singer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I began my creative experience as a punk singer. You know that, right?
I don't know that.
Like, I had a MySpace with a lot of followers.
What?
Like, a lot of followers that Nico... One day, Nico texted me, my friend I grew up with, and he was like, if you were going to be a pop star, would your name be Tierney Finstar? And I was like, yeah. And then he made, like, a separate, like, a new MySpace for it. And, like, he would add people from all over, like, Magnificent Michelle and, like, all these, like, random-ass people. But we would look at all of them, you know?
Yeah.
Even, like, Jeremy Scott would be there. You know, like, Nico would be messaging everyone, like, halfway as me. But mm-hmm. then I would – it was a music MySpace. So it had all my songs, which it would be like
– wait, what are your songs? I don't know your punk songs.
Yeah, I would go perform at birthday party. Like, the first time I went to a nightclub, it was, like, a Misha Barton-ass nightclub. And, like, this girl BBM'd me in class and was like, can you come perform tonight at H-Wood? And I was like – yeah, because she knew the songs.
At H-Wood, my God, in the Hollywood Highland Mall.
2008, 2007, like.
Oh, my God. I'm, like, about to faint.
Imagine you could have caught one of my performances.
Wild.
And then.
Did you have a band?
No, so I would pretend to be British. So I'd be like, hello, my name's Tierney Finstar. And then, like, I would be like, but more drunk and be like more, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're wild.
That was more like a masculine, like I was acting like a duchess. Mm-hmm. And then I would, oh yeah, I had like, it started with Britney Spears, but then like, the best Britney Spears song I performed was Crazy.
Oh, that's a good one.
But the opening scream on the track was Nico's, and I would record a lot of them in his mom's car, but people would listen to them. They liked them, and it totally set me off into a social experience that has continued. And
so you would do covers, would cover. Like punk.
R.C. Wood was Hollywood by Madonna. Everybody comes to R.C. Wood.
Wait, how would they sound?
Everybody comes to R.C. Wood. Like kind of stuff.
And so would you have background?
Also like, more British.
The British accent is what really drives the journey.
And
home.
I think I had way more British friends post that teen period. So it's like, who knows what it's informed by, but it's like consistent, you know?
Would you ever bring back Tierney Finstar?
Well, like even on Facebook, that was my name up until so recently.
Yeah.
But then someone was like asking me to be credited. Like, what do I want to be credited? Blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, whatever, just put my name.
Well, you have to have an alter ego.
Yeah, so it's Tierney an alter Finstar. But that's what T-Star is.
Yeah, that's what T-Star is.
So, like, that's still my handle, and, like, I don't know. I guess it's stuck.
I need you in, like, a platform boot.
The live shows, though.
The live shows. Just getting...
I would take out my tits and, like, you know, jump around or try to get the mic from someone at a show that wasn't mine or, like...
I'm so sad that I have never seen
it. I think We Belong Together by Mariah. I don't know what Mariah song, but, like, yeah, that's how the videos... like began. And
then you did like kind of like sexy R&B videos with Nico.
So yeah, like Nico and I had done a bunch of funny videos, you know, like it began one time he filmed me making a documentary, which I guess is super YouTuber style or just like travel show of like the diner by his house. Also as like T-Star and like a shitty accent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then like, he'd had me go outside against a wall and just say like, oh, it's so gourmet, you know? But all I did was be like, it's so gourmet, you know? And then he cut it so that it was like all crazy. It was a documentary, but then it was like, but most importantly, so gourmet. And it cut all like sexy porno, you know? And I think it was set to like Ragdoll by Aerosmith.
Oh my God.
And so, yeah, there was a comedy which concluded with Shakira La Loba, like our own video to it. And then years later, or like 3 years later, we made 3 R&B style videos, I guess, that are like, it's called Caught Feelings. And he started by just wanting to cover a Tevin Campbell song in Big Bear. So we went and did that. And then an artist ended up wanting us to make another one, and they're sort of like, and then we won a grant
I've heard of it.
Yeah, from, you know,
online.
They give grants.
Oh, I love online. That.
Yeah. So then, yeah, we made a third one, and those are really beautiful. Like, I feel like that series is like really mature and beautiful. Like, in terms of its conclusion with Wicked Games, which is like we won the grant for in order to make. And so I love that. It's probably the best thing I ever made still. And the middle video we shot, the location is now the future home of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry.
No.
In Malibu.
They have a home in Malibu?
They're going to move there, I guess. Or at least it was said that they were the people purchasing it and that they were going to make renovations.
Holy shit. The video is
Drop by Chester French.
Oh my God, yes. Rush to watch it.
It's like a Malibu villa.
Yeah, I remember it. It was kind of like
I was like a housekeeper and Nico was the kingpin who lived there. And when he brought me over that housekeeping suit to put on, I was like, it was not a, you know, a sexy maid costume.
Yeah, it was a full-blown, like, a housekeeper uniform.
But with that, like, thick material, you know, like a hotel.
Like the feel of Dickies or something like that.
To make someone wear that at your home. It's not even a hotel.
Can you imagine having people wear uniforms in your house?
Yeah, it's like, what
being
the
like,
fuck?
Making like seeing someone and looking up and down and making sure they're fully in a uniform.
Looks good to me.
Yeah. Or like having to tell someone, like, can you tell her her shoes are a little dirty?
I hate that. That's pretty crazy. Not like that. No. My mom is like, I don't know, not that we ever even had anybody doing that kind of stuff for us, but if like one of my aunts had that or something for just one party or whatever, my mom would be practically like so close to the person hired by the end of the night that I would feel like she was being condescending, like overcompensating, like having to be best friends, you know?
Yeah.
But thank God that's hot compared to the other.
Well, yeah, like being like a dick to like
enforcing your boundaries workers. In your home.
Yeah. Like,
did you ever see that movie Beatrice at Dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it so good?
It's so good. Yeah. I was loving it.
I love that.
Yeah. It was amazing. John Lithgow, like, his ability to become like a total villain. He's so good because he can be so hilarious. Like, I loved Third Rock from the Sun, but then he can also be like the grossest, most evil.
Uh-huh.
I love
he's
that.
He's hot, yeah.
What's the scariest, like, creative thing you've ever done?
Oh, like in terms of how I felt, like being scared?
Yeah, or just like the most daring thing or the thing that really, made you the most uncomfortable or the biggest risk.
I guess what comes to mind.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It is like a photo shoot that people... not even who cares about other people, a photo shoot that is like totally the background of my website. And like, it's, I love, you know, I love the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that people respond to real, you know, a ton. So I guess I say that to say it's something that was like totally worth it, you know?
Yeah.
And also something that I've become so accustomed to, right? Like, I've been so naked in so many environments with so many different photographers.
Yeah.
And it's sort of hilarious because I feel like most of them are like fashion photographers, but literally, like, I don't know, with like my body, they just like, whether they don't want to have access to like proper clothing or they just literally like don't know how, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they want nudes. I think that has been the motivation, at least sometimes, not always. But anyway, I'm happy to do it. Like me, Nico, in that old era we're talking about, I would be like naked all over town as like a teen, you know? So I guess the first time that I did a nude shoot, though, I had just been in, I've been in Israel and the West Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, still in the Middle East when someone, my friend Luke, texted me and was like, you know, about the shoot, and it was going to be for V Magazine. And I mean, just shooting with him in general, I was down, and I, of course, I wanted to do it for V. And I remember being like leaving in the airport and like writing saying like, oh, by the way, I'm not blonde anymore. And he was super pissed. since we talked about that before, but yeah, so he got me nice wigs and I was blonde, and it was like a big, I hadn't been on like a big proper fashion production. Like I'd been on big movies or something like that, but not playing an active part so much, you know, but just the like feeling of being there was a lot, and it was cute, and it was at a house that they had rented, and there was like tons of trailers, like wardrobe trailers, and I had a trailer, and like, there's just so many moving parts, and like we did one setup and I had these like clothes on, and then like I felt like they were trying to put me in all these dresses that weren't really like fitting well. Mm-hmm. And I was getting like, what are you supposed to do? You know, at the time too, I'm like 20 or something.
Yeah.
I'm literally 19 or 20. And then, the makeup artist was like, what if I just cover her in glitter? And I really, that's like how that was like born, you know? And so I was going to be, I was naked and I had like thigh high black leather boots on. And, he used like Makeup Forever, really lacquery lip gloss, and painted me, and covered me in glitter. But at that time in my life, I was not strutting around naked.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had that exhibitionist side of me, but it was in that very punk way, which is like basically like my body bothers you and I'm gonna show it up and down Hollywood at these like clubs.
Yeah,
and,
like I'm gonna go to H-Wood and take my tits out. Yeah. And it's kind of like more of a, it's like a
transgressive, also it's horny, but it's like,
but also like a, you're trolling.
Yeah, but we crazy trolled back then, you know, and it was so fun. And so
that's a different way of presenting.
It's very different than being in like, I don't know, like some Versace heels and like diamond, like they put diamond, mm-hmm. like I think it was sapphire since we're talking about gems, but like blue, like a really beautiful necklace. But the whole thing was the boots were like up to my thighs, but you know, these boots don't even fit me still because it's like thigh high boots. I'm not a fashion thigh. Like,
yeah.
So it's like I'm barely in them and I'm in a trailer and they're also heeled and I'm not like, you know, especially that moment, I was not used to walking in big heels a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like a whole walk through the house to the backyard where we're going to shoot, where there's like altogether, you know, there's probably like 30 plus people or more. But in the backyard, there's like literally 10, 12 guys around a pool waiting for me, you know, like photo assistant, lighting and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Oh my God.
Yeah, like I really was like, breathe. And I knew, I also loved it because I had, like, I was not unused to that feeling.
Yeah.
But it was like raising the stakes of it.
Mm-hmm.
But also raising the stakes of the quality of the result of it. You know what I mean? Because I'm in, like, he did an amazing job. I was entirely glitter. I'm in a beautiful blonde wig. I'm in diamonds. I'm getting shot at like golden hour in LA in a summer. It's romantic and it's beautiful. And like the picture is amazing and it was totally worth it. And since then, you know, like I said, I've like done so many kinds of nude shoots in very like, I don't know, like nicely done ways. So it doesn't seem that scary to me now, but.
But it's like, it's interesting to go from being like troll, like using your body as a tool to like shock or like troll or make people uncomfortable.
Oh, entirely.
Versus
because
being
even
like,
sexually, I was not in my body at this time. Like I would perform sexuality all the time really effectively. But when it came to like having sex with people, I wasn't like, I was accommodating for my body. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't letting myself be sexualized for it or like, or just accepting, you know what I mean? Like it was a total like,
whole, like more conservative thing. Approach to like sex and sexuality.
Or when a more blacked out approach or both, you know what I mean? Yeah. Combos.
I love a conservative blacked out
You know
approach.
What I mean?
Well, yeah, blacked just out, like but disassociating.
Exactly.
So, being like, whatever happens, I'm not really
cool.
here
or like,
to like,
I'm laying here and like, I like it. I can be into it enough, but I'm not about to like move.
Yeah.
I thought it was so, you know.
It's like self-conscious.
Totally.
Yeah.
It was extremely. Are you kidding? I mean, really only, even though I've like, have shown or depicted myself in these ways for a long time, like, I've only really been showing like very nude, like true body positivity or whatever you want to call it, like in the last year, I would say, or 2 years. Because before that, I've had access to tons of like nude, fashion-y, glamorized, like, retouched, and I'm not like totally against retouching.
No,
that's a right.
I'm like, please.
Skinny girls have had it for years. So just because we get curve power doesn't mean we need to abandon the art. But I do support like Jamila and Jamil and like all these efforts to just like real. I realize the danger in establishing retouching as like, that's how people actually look, you know?
Yeah.
But these days, you don't need celebrities to look at that. Everyone people look at is retouched or like.
Yeah. And you can do it yourself on like Facetune or whatever.
Like I've had Facetune photos on Instagram before, but I'm not the one Facetuning them. Because I know. I mean, I might as well get the best in the game if I'm going to bother to do it.
I took a photo like at like a pool party or something like a few years ago, and then I just like Facetuned it and changed my entire body like to look like very kind of like thotty bikini.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm not posting this because it's just like too much.
Yeah.
And so I had Christine post it.
Oh my God. I love it.
And so many people, like the comments and
were insane.
Like I feel like Ariana from Vando.
Yeah.
She was like, oh my God, like fire. Cause it was just like insane body. But I was like, this is not anywhere.
Not mine.
If you saw the before and after, you would
be
like, wow.
Different.
It was a huge difference.
But did you feel like you did it really nimbly and that it was?
Yeah.
Like
you wouldn't, I don't think there's anywhere.
Commenting like
no, and also botched. If it went on hers,
exactly, you're
it's like
oh, she
just
kidding
a, yeah
oh she was so fun
no
she,
then it's a lol.
She tried the new app
but that was like my first foray into Facetune. I've like done just like Facetune wrinkles off my face before I post or whatever, but like not like egregious retouching of like a body moment.
Yeah,
aside from that one, which was an experiment, if you will.
It's hard to tell. I don't know. Like, I've had good work done to me by professionals on these things, but I think it's been a minute. And I also think that some things look super fake to me, but I actually was maybe like way more fit at times. So then it's like with mild retouching and that, like to me, I'm like, who drew that?
Yeah. I've seen photos of myself like from the past where it's like my leg looks just like different.
Oh my God. Like my arm. I'm like, there's one picture in particular where like I could never show it to anyone, even though I would want to show it to you, because I'm like, how did my arm ever look like that? Like,
yeah.
No one, yeah, no.
What would you give, what advice do you have for any women, but also like just like curvier or bigger women that want to be like modeling and like do like doing what you do essentially, where it's like smart thought modeling, like glam. You're like a jackdress of all trades.
Jackstress.
But like anyone, like I love imagine
smart thought.
Yeah, like I just imagine.
I feel like the like right now is such an amazing time to explore these options, because I will say like it's truly like culturally like hating fat people has definitely become like less sanctioned, at least.
It's like slut shaming.
Yeah.
Like it was fine and popular in like
fucking slut
2001 to 2010. Yeah. And then there's been a sea change. Yeah.
Even later, because like I feel like I was always part of very like social justice-y circles where like, you know, even like ninth grade where I was like, I'm not ever saying bitch again, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is a great choice, but not mine. And like, I don't know, like since I finished college, which is 2014, I think like culture caught up. I don't know. Like, yeah, I just feel like there's so much more access. Like, it's a really good thing that I'm celebrating, but I am marveled at how certain things actually have transformed positively quickly, and like just access for like entertainment and media and fashion jobs for bigger women, I think is one of those things. And like, I don't know. I mean, in terms of advice,
like I'm thinking of if there's any readers who are listening to this in like a small fucking town or like just somewhere where it's not. I think
you
have
to do whatever you can with what you have. You know what I mean? And to not focus on any lacks, you know, whether that means like lacking resources or lacking a, you know, a body that you think is more conventionally like praised, or you know, like, and just use what you have and be creative. And basically saying that to be like, show yourself in interesting ways, right? Like,
yeah,
I've been having fun with my own image for so long, and like I don't really want it to stop, you know what I mean?
I don't want it to stop because it gives me a lot of joy, and it also is like inspiring. And I feel like I talked about this on like past episodes with Ryan, but like the thought of like, like I stay pretty conservative in the way I present
this
myself.
Episode a lot. With
like just like thoughting out or feeling comfortable sharing like nude photos, and I think that all ties up in my own self esteem and like the own way I feel about my body, which more and more, and especially weirdly in like the last week, I've been like noticing how much like body dysmorphia I truly grapple with on like a day to day basis, and like my like hatred for my body, which I'm like, I get really mad at myself for that, but I'm trying not to judge it and just be like, recognize and then how can I like move forward and like ease up on this. But
I mean, I think
because
that,
I like I would love to do like a nude shoot,
and have fun,
and and I feel like there's and lots
I
of people
casted
and women.
Laura in a 420 models campaign. My campaign
is
inclusive
for the model for modeling
agency passion project, and she actually strips down to her skivvies in it.
I did,
and it looks amazing.
And that was like a moment
I
of
think
body positivity.
At the end of the day, I am truly confident, and I don't know if that's relatable, but I really can't pretend, you know. And it's like, even that's what I guess I was trying to make the point. In terms of like career stuff too, it's like I'm not career driven in a way that seems like weird, because it's not about anyone but me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to get one up on anyone except sharing or something. And like, and I think I am really confident because I see the social factors of so many of these feelings, right? Like, it's not to say, you know, I wouldn't, and I'd like exercise today and I feel way like energetically cooler in my body, you know what I mean? I had been feeling really like gunky and kind of depressed lately, but like, so it's not to say that I don't feel shitty in my body or shitty about my body sometimes, you know, regularly or whatever. But like, I do come from a place of like real gratitude that I have a body that works as well as it does. And mm-hmm. I think even though it was just as simple as breaking my leg, like actually in terms of love, intimacy, like really, even career art, like when I've done programs like the Artist Way, and it's like, it brings up your blocks creatively. And a lot of people, you know, it's like addictions or the family behaviors or family thoughts about what you're doing, that these are the things that block you.
Yeah.
But when I did those programs, even way past many of these nude shoots and affirmative experiences, it was still my body. Like, why couldn't I do storytelling shows or comedy? Body. Like, why don't I go on more auditions? Body. And it's mm-hmm. like, even
that
though I'm
you were
somebody,
holding yourself back
yeah.
because
and so
of
it's
certain
like,
ways
as
you felt.
Me talking about my body and like having gratitude from knowing like what it's like to not be able to use your body at full capacity or at a capacity that you're used to, you know, mm-hmm. again, it's like, I feel so grateful that like, I had to like reckon, like when I met my boyfriend, I still was like limping with a broken leg, which might not seem like that big of a deal, especially if you're like a hot, pretty girl who actually likes that, because then it like makes you feel like someone carry me, help me, you know, that mm-hmm. whole thing. For me, it's like if you have a fat body and you're dating, right? Or like you need to be as perfect as you can. It's like hyper femme, super glam, like, at least in my experience, like, well, yeah. in terms of accommodating.
There's more pressure.
Yeah. And like, I would never get sick or cancel or have a need or have a want. Even though I was very much like a queer feminist, like, rebellious person, but just within that kind of body related sexual dynamic, like, I really lost all agency until, you know, in the last couple of years. And I think, the like humbleness of like knowing a physical pain or just mm-hmm. discomfort or just like, you know, rejuvenation, healing period. It's like, it made me a lot more centered to like what I deserve. Cause I think so much of like why we hate our bodies is we think we don't deserve or that we won't get something because of how they are. You yeah. know, it's like they're too, you know.
And that's also like very in a place living like in LA.
Yeah.
Is a right. common occurrence, yeah. like how it goes sometimes.
Some woman who's a doctor today who wasn't my doctor, she was at the nail salon, you know, we were talking a bit and then she was like, oh yeah. And I wasn't expressing any worry or anything about my body or anything, you know. She's like, oh no, I know someone that's an actor that's bigger, you can, there is things, there is ways you can do it. And I was like,
you're like, thanks.
I was like, yeah, I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about if I have to wear really big heels for a long time. You know, because like that's a physical fear I have.
Yeah,
but I don't know, like, it's just not enough time. I'm pleasure oriented. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I feel sometimes what also balances like the career part of me is like such an aptitude for pleasure and like weed and the beach and sex and eating and yeah. stuff. And like, I really do a lot of all of it. So, mm-hmm.
yeah, you have a full.
So do that life. And take pictures. And that's how you
tons of pictures of
that's
yourself.
That's my advice. Like, just visualize yourself and like have fun allowing yourself to exist and realize that you can have so many options and moods and that nothing is like fixed and like just experiment. And yeah. even if you're feeling down about yourself, like just go get a wig and put it on and have fun as someone else for a little bit, even if it's just at home.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
that's great advice.
Don't stick. Like, I'm not someone who's like staring in the mirror, like, what do I look like? I'm way more like, what am I going to look like? Even if that like result is like how I look right now, which is like super natural, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But I'm still like, I'm going to put on some sunscreen and a little, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just like take care of yourself. And like,
I like, what am I going to look like as opposed, because I'm very much someone.
I'm getting that from you from this. So you're just like looking, right?
Yeah. Where I'm like, I'll do like just look in the mirror and like analyze my appearance and like, no. And a lot of times I'll feel happy about what I see,
yeah, so
or like Yeah. Like,
so it's kind of a good exercise.
It's good, but it's also like in the moments where I'm like happier about it, I'm likely like really stoned and just like modeling in the mirror and like feeling good and chill. But then after that moment, there becomes like the next day when I like wake up, it's just like, oh, like I've had days, and especially in this past month, which really scare me because I'm like, I don't want to feel like this, where it's like I wake up and like resent my body, my face, like everything.
Yeah. And I was feeling like that earlier in the summer.
Yeah. And just being, and that's like the worst way to feel.
It just makes you uglier.
Yeah. Like
you
it
have
just,
to be like,
it, there's
thank
nothing.
Thank God for. Yeah. I think I'm very, you know, like, I'm very good with God. And I really do believe in like universal energy and consciousness. And I'm like low key a bit like those Pretty Wild girls with the secret and stuff. And I think gratitude is joy, and I really try to focus on that kind of stuff because I do think it amplifies. Because like, think of so many times that retrospectively, it's because it's our emotional life that's coloring how we see our physical form. Because there's so many times like that you can look back on and you look amazing, but you know at the time you thought you didn't. Yeah. Or like you felt like you were fat then, but I'm like, whoa, I wasn't even like.
No, yeah, you look back and you're like, why wasn't I enjoying myself? Or like, I wish, like, I'm like, God, I wish I could go back to like that and enjoy and how my body was and like be
and
into
it. I think that's
it.
How my confidence has come from too, because I did lose probably like almost like, I don't know, 80 pounds, probably thinner than I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like for a couple years. I think it was like right before we met, or like maybe right as we met. I don't know. But basically, like, I guess I say that to be like, when you see how that your emotional life doesn't necessarily change, you know what I mean? That's like a huge, in terms of like confidence and being grounded in like identity, it's like, I don't know. Like, when you, and then you also see the way people treat you in different ways, it's sort of like, and the way you also feel. Mm-hmm. Like, when I lost weight, I felt a comfortableness in my body that I'm still learning to feel. You know what I mean? Like, but it was like really nice. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like it made me feel like as a teenager, like coming of age with that body that I like basically didn't breathe out loud for 4 years, you know, like so tense and awkward, really. Mm-hmm. Which is like why you should get drunk and take out your tits and shake them, right? But like, I guess, yeah, like when you see,
it's like I've noticed times of myself, and I think growing up and being like tall or whatever, that was always something that people commented on. And even like, I think the guy that I like lost my virginity to would like make fun of me for being tall sometimes, but then it really like that negative aspect of it stuck with me, and I felt like there have been a lot of times like where I physically would try and like make myself smaller by like slouching or just like just whatever, or presenting in a way that's not like, yeah, I'm fucking 6 feet tall. Like,
you're like, I'm a model height.
Yeah, I'm a model height. I have huge fucking feet and like big hands and long hair. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And like grappling with all the like weird body vibes that have been happening in like the last couple weeks. It's like, I just had a thought where I was like, I can't make myself small anymore.
No.
Like that physically doesn't even agree with me. And that's not how I am or like who I am.
Totally.
So why am I like trying to do this to like make other people feel more comfortable?
When those people are the people that are stupid, because like so many, I mean, a huge part of my confidence before, I think I've really found more true confidence in and of myself lately, or like the last couple years. But, even before that, what like people like Nico or like so many other friends who were very, to me, conventionally hot as fuck, smart people with amazing taste, and they always thought I was hot.
Yeah.
So whatever I looked like, and they still do, you know, and I get so much love based on looks, but I also get it probably because I share it, right? Like I make myself available to it. But you know, these people that like maintain beauty, certain beauty standards, are just literally ill-informed, because we immediately, like, some of the most beautiful people probably all of us can think of in our own life that, you know, who we love their looks, like, they wouldn't fit that really singular Western, you know, beauty standard either. So it's sort of like, who said, like, you know, long hair and big feet and, like, weren't really beautiful. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, you look like...
I'm saying that from a place of privilege, knowing that, like, I look a certain way that's,
oh,
like...
Oh, no, I'm not even... Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. Everyone
but
has...
But people do think that. You yeah. know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think I'm not negating your experience. I'm feeling like... It's like so silly because you also, yeah, you look like a model.
Thank you. That's like what I was trying to get.
Yeah. Everyone can look like a model.
Everyone can model. That's
literally, that's the biggest
actually
difference.
The life hack, like, is that everyone can be a model.
I mean, I feel like kind of funny because on the Babe podcast, I've been so like real about different aspirations or that it's like one of those things that almost makes it embarrassed because then suddenly now I have this amazing community to like check if they're real or not, you know, but yeah. it's like come true. But why would I stop modeling until I can have like a really good modeling job? At least a couple, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? One, like, a cover, like,
definitely there's
an Old Navy campaign. Like, I'm down for all versions.
Yeah, it's all on the horizon.
Thank you.
I feel that. I'm like, I don't know, I'm just ready to get to like a positive, like, into a positive routine that makes me feel the most confident I can feel.
It's back to school.
It's back to school. So it's September. We're almost
that.
Out of the fucking
that's
hellhole of August.
That's why I worked out at 7 a.m. and got yeah. my nails done at 9 a.m. And, you know, like, woo, yeah. we're on
I
it.
I went to go to the gym.
Business.
Yeah. Did a little gardening.
Oh, I know. I don't know. I'm surrendering. Like, I want to really institute so many more, like, was it like routines? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm also like, I'm instituting the routines because I can't control other stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, I think.
You have to really consider what is the most important. What are the things that I have to do to be running at my best or optimal
feel? For these other things.
Feel.
And that's totally and don't the add, theme of my week.
Yeah. Don't add too many of them where it gets overwhelming. But what it, finding the
what
right
do
amount.
Do I need to show up for so many nice opportunities that I'm happy to get all the time, but I think like my biggest conflict with them is my own self, which is like for someone that is grounded and ambitious and like good at what I do, it's like silly. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, but that's everyone's
but
block.
That's what we're saying. It's just like we were laughing before we did this. Like, I just have to heal forever.
Yeah, so much healing to
you
do.
Know?
Isn't there a moment where you're just like, I'm all better
done.
Now. Oh my God. Life
Whoa.
Is amazing now.
Yeah. I think probably if we go to like a holotropic breath work.
Yeah. Retreat. And then you get like 5 minutes of that.
Yeah.
You do like crayon
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah. But it's like,
who is the time?
It doesn't give me that much bliss.
It doesn't give me any bliss.
Of
I'm
all
like,
the
let's...
yoga, I love yoga and I respect it, but I'm not an expert.
I want to stretch. I want to open up my hips and then I want to like feel like I've worked my body in some way.
Yeah, I'm okay breathing. Even with like some super breathing or like relaxation ones, but the Kundalini breathing is such labor.
It's a lot.
And it's always like white Australian people doing it.
Indeed. Okay, let's do some reader mail.
Yes, please.
Dear Lara and guest, longtime reader, first-time caller, your Sharing It's Not Caring episode was a real wake-up call for me as a 23-year-old who has continuously felt taken advantage of numerous jobs. My current job is particularly trying, not only because of the fact that I'm being overworked, asked to front company expenses and wondering when I'll be getting reimbursed, taking on work requiring knowledge far beyond my liberal arts degree, but also the tumultuous social dynamics at my office. I share an office with my supervising attorney, who's an adamant and unapologetic born-again Christian a la Hillsong and the like. While I am an advocate for religious freedom and doing whatever suits you, I'm a recovering Catholic trying to find myself after 16 years of Catholic school, college included. I'm at a point in my life where I'm pretty much adverse to any organized religion because of my upbringing. Not only does she incessantly share her weekly journeys with her church and various prayer groups, but she pauses our workday several times a day for a God moments, during which she swears God is speaking to her directly about whatever random thing, work-related or not, seems to be at hand. I feel stuck between remaining in her, quote, good graces, so to speak, and voicing my truth about how I'm pretty much an atheist after years of theology classes and coming to terms with the church's doctrine that was forcibly shoved down my throat for so many years. She insists on me attending her church functions and prophecy sessions, but I always come up with a class A excuse to flake. I don't feel comfortable speaking my truth, and I feel as though she's crossing a boundary with bringing her personal beliefs into the workplace, but I don't know how to bring about the fact that this is making me uncomfortable and is impeding my work. I'm at a Britney Spears crossroads in regards to how I should proceed. Please advise.
Boundaries.
Boundaries, indeed.
Workplaces can be so...
They're increasingly more and more lax. Like, I've never been in, I've always worked in offices in LA, even when I've had like office jobs that have been, there's tons of moments of inappropriate.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just something I've gotten really used to.
Yeah.
But like, this sounds like you're working in like a law firm and like there's procedures.
Yeah. Like, I just think people need to have, like, maintain your relationships outside of work.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you must have friends from your church that you, you know, share that experience with or share that you want to like, because, like, that is, like, she's trying to get jump you in.
Yeah. And I think you, it is on you to say, like, please. Like,
it is.
It is on you to just be like, look, I respect everything. Like, I respect your religion.
You don't
even
have to say you respect it if you don't want to.
Yeah. Just be like, I have to be honest with you. It makes me really uncomfortable how much you're bringing your religion into our shared workspace. So, yes. Like, do you? But, like, I'm not interested.
I would rather not hear about this kind of stuff at work.
Yeah. So.
I think it's totally.
Thanks so much. Or, like, can I talk to you for a minute? Or, like, acknowledge that it kind of is uncomfortable, but you just want to. You want
it's also
both.
A privilege thing, right? Because yeah. If you're a very devout Muslim, like, in most office spaces in America, sorry, like, you're not given the same privilege to, like, you know, if you were speaking freely, like, trying to, like, encourage people to join you, people would call you an extremist. And, like,
people would be like, I'm calling the FBI.
Yeah, like, maybe it's not a perfect example, but, you know, it's like.
But, yeah, how would you handle that? Because that also would be pretty disruptive if, like.
I'm just thinking it wouldn't happen because it's, like, it's born-again Christians that feel like. They are the government and like they are America. You know what I mean? So I feel like in most cases of this kind of experience, I'm very like willing to wager it's that, you know?
Yeah. There's also something to be said about the fact that like people who get really, really into religion, yeah. I feel like probably don't have that much going on outside of the religion that they're practicing.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've personally run into with like experimenting with chanting and like all of that, where it's like I make some connections, but I feel like every conversation that I have with anyone that I've met through that practice revolves around like more religious activities involved with it and like this and that. It's like we can't just be like normal people or go to a movie or
and
like
have this as like part of our
go out for a drink and then this is something we do on the side. It's always like, are you gonna go to this, are you gonna go to this? And I'm like,
it's
I don't want to talk.
Yeah, it's like the same as going to yoga and everyone's chattering and you're like, ugh, like I'm not part of this culture, I just want to
relax. I want to do it and be into it and feel good doing it, but when it becomes like so consuming, it's like that turns me off. And I think it's coming from a similar background, not Catholic, but growing up being forced to go to church all the time and like I hate this.
I know I talked about it before, but like literally I had zero discipline growing up, I feel, and was like always just like self-motivated or like, so like at the chance to go to church, I loved it. Like I always wanted scenarios that felt like
you were like a church going girl.
Yeah, I like was. My parents weren't even.
Yeah.
But like.
But it was a form of rebellion for you almost.
Eventually all of this achievement is. But like, I don't know. I
love you praying and being like, it's very Kardashian. Like, what's crazy too is like how Christian the Kardashians are, or how Christian they present to the world.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, it's interesting because I think it's like, it's one thing to have like faith, but then like they are like, and that church that Chris bought, right, is like, it wants to be Hillsong, doesn't it? Like, isn't it?
Is that the one that Courtney, does she go to Hillsong? Or is that Bieber, Haley Baldwin, they're like the Hillsong?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But Courtney goes to that
church
did.
Too. I oh, think really? She was going with like her ex-model boyfriend.
I think it's inappropriate, like, for these celebrities who basically get their entire creative life from queer people to belong to that kind of church, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, like, my biggest, like, I guess I, yeah, I only reflect on my childhood to say that, like, in general, like, BDSM, college, teachers, like, school, like, I'm such a sucker for discipline. Like, mm-hmm. I love it because I think I've had so much less of it than a lot of people have the opposite reaction, right? Like,
yeah.
You, like, unwind out of your discipline hole, but I was always
seeking.
And I, like, already said, like, I'm into higher power thinking. I'm into God for my own life. I'm not into talking about any specifics of, like, spiritual awakenings with anyone that I work with. Like, I'm not, like, you know what I mean? And it's not an organized, I'm not part of an organized religion because I don't want it, like.
Yeah, I'm, like.
I can't exclude these groups.
I mean, if I was working with, like, I mean, I've definitely have kind of like a look down my nose approach to most Christian, like totally. Ardent Christians. Yeah. And I'm just like, God, you're a real fucking sucker.
Of course.
And I don't think that like, it's not like, cause I truly feel like every religion is just saying the exact same thing.
It is, and
it's all about just like love and light,
yeah.
But like taking it to a place of like crazy Christianity is like, I'm like, you're an idiot.
I'm not interested in community either. But I don't, like, need to be around a bunch of people with the same faith.
No, but if I was like working with someone that was like crazy into crystals and like was talking about them and having like crystal channeling moments or like channeling from like medium moments, I'd be like obsessed.
Yeah,
I'd be like,
totally.
Never stop.
And
or
I think,
even
but
if
that's
they were
actually bothered me in workplaces before is the disrespect for that culture.
Yeah, and I'm like, this isn't bullshit, this is real. Or even if they were doing like Eastern practices or even like Muslim, I'd be like, chill, like show me how to pray. Like I'm like interested.
Yeah. Because but, like, it's non-dominant.
Yeah. You know? But the Christian thing, I'm just like, eye roll, heard it all before, move
totally.
On. Shut the fuck up.
You're like, you gotta get something new.
Yeah. I'm like, go in the closet or like bring like a rose quartz
My
cross
mom, like,
into the mix or something interesting.
That's hot.
Yeah.
I grew up with like going to Catholic church when I would go with my grandpa, so that's his whole own thing. But my mom was always vocally anti born again Christian and would like to the point of being rude.
I'd love to see your mom.
And she would just
like
talk about
shit.
How all they are is, and it wasn't to stigmatize alcohol addiction or anything, but she would just be like, ugh, every addict goes born again.
Yeah, it's like
those rituals shouldn't be deemed less important than like esoteric rituals.
Mm-mm.
But like,
there's space for everyone. But when one thing dominates more than others and is like okay, where other things
not,
are
yeah.
like ew or like judged or not okay, that's problematic.
Well, even in that, the reader, I'm sure she like. I don't know, like, she, you know, if she was suddenly into, like, if there was, like, the witchy person at work, like,
yeah,
they shouldn't talk either, I guess, probably, like, most people in that environment would think.
Yeah, maybe you can either talk to this woman and just, like, set the firm boundary of what's okay and not okay, or you can adopt your own, like, Wiccan rituals
yes.
that you bring to the office and, like, challenge her with some, like, either, like, dark arts, Wiccan, mm-hmm. pagan, or just go, like, full Satanist.
Yes.
And, like, and then be, like, religious freedom, my bitch.
Yeah.
And then have, like, dueling. When she's having a God moment, you can have a devil moment.
Totally. Like, it's just, like, being the brunette and saved.
Yeah. Eva.
Obsessed.
Podcast favorite. Dear Lara, I'm a recent babe convert and was immediately drawn in because of your and Ryan's relationship bears a frightening resemblance to that of mine, a gay man, and my best friend, a straight woman. Shocking, I know. As sad as it was to see Ryan move on, I'm more than a little excited to see where you take the podcast next. Honey, I've been taking the podcast. I'm in need of some advice on how to deal with an ex that just keeps popping up. I live in DC, which is a notoriously small city with a notoriously large gay population. I started dating this guy in early spring after one-time Grindr hookup turned us both into wanting more. We started hanging out often and pretty quickly. He brought me into almost every aspect of his life, work, friends, gym, and family. We went to 0 to 100 real quick, and it seemed like we had a real connection. About a month later, he ghosted me on a weekend we were supposed to hang out. All the while, he kept posting Instagram stories with his emotionally abusive cheater and ex-boyfriend. After trying to keep it cool for about a day, I entered into a maniacal depression and proceeded to unfollow him on social media. The following Monday, he texted me like nothing happened and insisted we get dinner that night, to which I hesitantly agreed. I confronted him at dinner, and after running to the bathroom for a quick, nervous puke, gave him the opportunity to end things. He insisted that he wanted to keep dating, and we left it at that until he broke up with me the following Sunday via text to get back with the aforementioned emotionally abusive cheater of an ex-boyfriend. The next few months consisted of me trying to get over him in any way possible, including but not limited to fucking one of his friends, finding myself in more than a few Instagram K-holes stalking the life of him and his friends, fucking a 45-year-old zaddy who turned out to be a Trump supporter from whom I got gonorrhea in my throat. Lol. Flash forward, it's the end of August. I just finished staying celibate the entire summer, so I'm currently under the impression that I can do anything. Throughout the summer, without provoking, this ex of mine kept appearing. What started as his likes on social media and immediate looks at my Instagram stories turned into running into him every time I turned a corner and desperate texts to get my attention. It all culminated this past weekend when somehow we matched on Tinder. I know I should block him or tell him. I know, somehow is really not taking accountability for that right swipe, my babe. I know I should block him or tell him to fuck off once and for all, and I truly don't want anything to do with him ever again, not to mention my best friends would kill me, but part of me gets a kick out of watching him try to regain my attention. Am I being a total babe if I let him keep going? But more importantly, can you ever really get over someone if they find ways to weasel themselves back into your life? With deep appreciation for the love, light, and laughter you send into the world. Honey, you have to make a decision of whether you want this person in your life or not, because you're opening doors for him to show up.
Totally. I feel like you already know that he is coming off of an abusive relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you really seriously like him and want to like address him so candidly about doing the work to heal from that situation so that you guys can enjoy something together, I think that's like the only realistic thing to do. But I mean, given his behavior, that might be really triggering and like make a whole dramatic thing, you know? But
yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is not to like, you know,
like
not to get into something with him expecting that he's not the person that you know he is. You know what I mean? That he has this relationship and that it has like a really specific power dynamic and that he's used to certain exchanges of power or attention. And like, obviously he's stalking you and like trying to get your attention. And so is that like, is that how you would want your partner to like approach?
Yeah. And I,
communicating with you more, maybe, I don't know.
What stuck out to me too is like, this person ghosted you. You saw exactly what he was doing. He's hanging out with this ex. And then you decided to go out to dinner and you gave him the opportunity to like end things. But it's like that you're like giving away your own power by doing that.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it feel, it always feels scary because to like set a really firm boundary with someone or just be like, fuck you, I'm not talking to you again. Like, I refuse to be treated like this and that's it. Like, goodbye.
Yeah.
Because I think in the back of your head, it's like, oh my God, what if this is the last person that'll ever be interested in me? Like, what if I fucked up?
Yeah.
What if we could have fallen in love? Like, what if they think I'm a bitch? What if they talk shit? Like, there's so many negative self-talk reasons to like not do that. But I think that's like kind of your first instinct in this situation.
Yeah.
But you slip back in because you kind of want to see like, oh, will he change if I confront him? Or like, does he really want to break up? And then he says no and then breaks up with you later. Like, it's like, just make the firm decision and then walk away.
It's hard.
It's hard.
I mean, even like, I'm saying this advice, like, but I don't know, the most like crazy making partner I've ever had, hardly a partner, but you know, it's been so many years it's been a few years since I've seen or talked to him, and it like ended really, really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, you know, once in a while, more than I would like, I do still think like, what would it be like to see him? Not because I want to be with him or because I want to have anything. I definitely don't. Maybe it's also like fear. You know what I mean? Like I'm scared because I feel like that energy has been so toxic to my life or like unruly that I just want it away from me. But I think also everybody likes closure. Like in a weird way, I feel like that's what I'm looking for, but I don't think I'm not trying to get it. And I don't know. So like for you, it's like, are you in, it doesn't seem like you need closure because you weren't, I don't know.
Yeah. I think kind of sometimes closure is overrated.
It's opening. Exactly. Yeah. Closure is not really real, maybe.
No. And it's like, it is just inviting more discussion or whatever. Like at the end of the day, your decision and how you feel is the most important thing.
Totally.
So you can get closure by like writing down like all your thoughts on a piece of paper and burning it. Like it's like, totally. Just get it out of your body closure. Somehow.
I was thinking I should do that with him.
Yeah.
I'm really going to light that bitch up.
Mm-hmm. Because like really what you're looking for is some sort of validation in most closure situations.
Yeah.
Like there's like an ex of mine that I've like always gone back and forth of like, should I reach out to this person and just like see, like I want closure, which I think there is like
closing the door is actually opening
but
the door.
But it's not even,
the door's closed.
Yeah, because the door's been fucking closed.
Totally.
And I want to like prop it back open and be like, hey, just so you know, like I've been through a really rough time in my life, but now guess what? Things are good.
Yeah.
And like, I see that, I hope you're happy too. And then I have like a meaningful, like I want this person to be like, I love you and I'm sad that it didn't work. And I can be like, I love you too. And then I can feel sad and like wistful.
So drama.
And it's like it's drama.
Like, go film yourself.
Yeah. So you think, okay, so
you know
I should
what I
go,
mean?
I should film myself like doing
that
monologue.
Instead of doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that actually is better.
Literally. And that's what I was thinking too with like when you were saying you feel really bad. Like, I feel like even if you, like, you know what I mean? Like, if not generally, but like if you're like looking at yourself and wanting and like critiquing a bit, like just like put on Lana Del Rey Pretty When You Cry,
mm-hmm. And like roll around,
yeah, and sing, and you can be like ugly and expressive, you know, but mm-hmm. then it's just like, you know,
turn
injecting your body with a new emotional vibration. And
yeah,
like,
I love that advice.
And using your discomfort to really propel the act. So.
Yeah. That's great
Please
advice.
Please do it.
I'm going to. I'm going to get really artistic.
Uh-huh. I've been doing that for years.
You have. This is all, that's all you do.
Literally. If anyone wants to ever see it, let me know. And you can PayPal me. And
I love a PayPal. Pay to play.
Pay to play. Pay to pray to this pussy.
Pay to pray. That's what the other babe.
Uh-huh.
You got, other babe should put like a... like a religion jar in the office and say whenever one of us wants to have like a religious moment, we put $5 in the jar.
Oh, that's good.
And then
donate
just be like,
it or
donate
party.
It. And then, and then you guys get to go out to lunch together and talk so you get to know each other.
You're an interfaith expert.
That's a good way of...
They should hire you to make offices more interfaith.
Oh my God, I would love to like give a lot of advice to like corporate office situations.
Yeah.
having pretty much all red flag experiences.
I want to...
Like, I'm like, I got fired from every job so that I could be here to tell you how to work it in the office.
You could do it.
If you are listening and you have an office that you
HR,
want me to come...
People teams
that you want me to come in and...
That's what hot businesses call HR.
Yeah. Give some like office vibes advice and help people really communicate with each other. Let me know because I'll do it for a fee. I've already put it out there that
a nominal fee
that I officiate weddings and got a gig. For,
you did.
Yeah. 2019. I'm officiating my first reader wedding.
Bitch.
And I'm so
Who
excited.
Who is it? What kind of couple? What's the vibe?
Their vibe is... it's a gay couple, love, and they're very like artistic and like smart lollers they just are like lollers who appreciate like art
wow.
and the finer things in
life. Congratulations to those lollers because you booked a fucking superstar.
Yeah.
And it really is amazing.
It's going to be iconic.
Yeah.
And so I'm always down for like an odd job or two.
If you need me to film you.
I probably do.
Or do like full BTS. Like I'm sure they would let you bring an assistant.
Yeah. Like a we'll film a documentary.
Yeah.
Love that.
The first of many. Quasi former reader.
Oh, that there was some drama this week.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It busted you up. Were they talking shit about me?
No, no one was talking shit about
you.
I'm just kidding. The reader said that they were considering dropping off of listening to the podcast and due to whatever. And yeah. I said, like, that's disappointing, but there are many guests that you could get into.
Yeah.
Like, so I urge you to come back when you feel comfortable.
Totally.
And they said they really like you, so maybe they'll give it a shot.
Thank you, my little pretty.
West Hollywood foodie Rex from Lauren Ed. Well,
what
guess what?
Me?
Ed's not here and Tierney's
Babe,
here. So this
I
is what's
love
happening.
Eating. Have you heard this episode?
Hi, Lara, devoted reader here. My husband and I are coming to LA for the War on Drugs concert and staying at the Chateau Marmont. Hot. I made a res at Sushi Park based on Ed's rec, but are there any other West Hollywood spots we should hit up? We will, of course, be making the pilgrimage to Tom Tom. Thank you so much for all the lols and excellent content. By the way, I think you should know that while listening to the Goop podcast yesterday, my husband stated, and I quote, all men who meet GP must instantly fall in love with her. A true babe comment. I believe
the that comment to be is true. Hilarious.
That sounds like the kind of husband
waxing poet.
Want
you need life. Him.
I need someone that like deeply appreciates Gwyneth Paltrow.
And you're like, I'm a perfect
yeah.
avatar.
Okay, so you're really like living it up.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a new sushi or Japanese restaurant that just opened in Chateau Marmont. That,
oh, really?
Yeah, called like Hanare or something like that. That doesn't have good Yelp reviews, but looks really fucking chic. So I would just pop in and check that out. I like this spot called Rosalie, which is like, I think it's Peruvian food with really yummy cocktails and just like inventive menu options.
Where
it's
is
like,
it?
It's on Melrose, like almost at Melrose and La Cienega. Oh. It has like a neon sign. It says like Rosalie. And I saw John Mayer there once. So it's like a destiny
That's hot.
Vibe. A good date spot. What other places are you liking?
I don't have that many big picks. Like, I gotta say, I have a very pan Los Angeles experience, and WeHo is not my, like,
WeHo's not
true forte,
yeah.
Although I did live here. I would just say Mozza.
Oh, God, yeah. Mozza is a tried and true classic.
I'm supposed to go there later, but I went there, like, last week, and so I'm feeling like it's not really a place. It's very special to me, even if you go to the pizzeria one, like, it's like, it's heavy kind of, but it doesn't have to be. There's a lot of seafood and like salads, but it's so like, I feel like it has a special vibe.
Yeah, it does. It's just like a delicious and like luxury dining experience, yeah, like, but that's also like not too over the top.
It's not snooty or...
No, it's accessible.
Yeah, like it's
luxury,
not,
but then also you can like see business people there,
totally.
Like celebrities,
chefs, and celebs.
Yeah, it's a good
it's
mashup.
Hot.
It's
yeah,
hot.
I like it there.
I'm trying to think where else. Sushi Park is a real journey. I've yet to go there.
Have you been to Tom Tom?
I've been to Tom Tom 4 times.
Bitch.
I'm like,
so how is it?
It's good, but the 4th time I was like, okay,
I'm
like.
Done. At least well, for within the first month.
Yeah, like I was satiated. Like it took
yeah.
me 4 times to really, because like, I get obsessed with things.
Of
so
course.
I just have to like max it out. If you go to, when you go to Tom Tom, I like the Clockwork Pink cocktail.
Ooh.
It's like a mezcal, like smoky pomegranate, I think, cocktail. And they have cauliflower wings that
those
are good. They are so fucking good. Like I would Postmate them if I could.
Ooh.
So
that's when you know it's good.
I'm trying to think of like other vibes.
Okay. Oh, I Kofax get a breakfast
oh my
burrito.
God, yes.
It's so good, honestly. And the coffee's bomb. And if the donuts are really good, if you're
the donuts
into
are
that.
So good. I've had 1 day a week, we'll order a donut and a breakfast burrito.
So hot.
And it's very like scrumptious.
The best day of the week.
It's the best day of the week. Yeah, go to Kofax and get their breakfast. They have now like 3 or 4 breakfast burritos on the menu. Mm-hmm. And I like the glazed donut with sea salt flakes.
Oh my God, I've never had that, but I'm sure it's so good.
Just like salty and sweet.
Yeah.
My vibe.
Of course.
Wink.
What, John and Vinny's is right there. That's oh, a good yeah, Italian food. John and Vinny's. But I don't, it's hard to go there.
Yeah, I haven't gone out. I really only will go out to dinner if it's like a work related dinner, if I know I can like expense it essentially.
That's hot.
Yeah, because I'm
most
like
most of my dinners are work related.
Yeah, I'm into I'm a businesswoman at this point in my life, and so I don't do a lot of like just social dinners out because I need I want to write it off.
I think I write it off regardless.
I would love to record a hit single called "Write It Off." Yeah.
Do it.
That's my throw it in the bag.
Throw it in the bag.
Ah. Write it off. Oh, oh,
just write it all off.
I'm ready to go in the stew.
Shake it off.
Write it off.
Because your dining ain't the same.
Oh, God, yes. This is a revenge brew.
Yes.
Hi, Lauren Tierney. I'm behind on the podcast, but I had to share this revenge brew story from when I was in college. I unfortunately was not present for this as I was attending a mandatory anti-theft class, but I'd been arrested a few weeks prior. Babe. Anyways, upon returning to my dorm building, I noticed 4 police cars. I parked my car, went upstairs to my BFF Andrew's room, and asked what was going on. He explained to me that Peaches, this guy, ate a full tray of peaches on his first day of school, no plate, straight on the tray. It was easily a pound of peaches. Had taken a bunch of Molly and was rolling really hard when he decided to drink a 40 and take a bong rip. That wasn't enough, so he topped his journey off with some Coke. This cocktail led his brain to confuse the communal washing machine with a toilet. He proceeded to brew in the top loading washing machine, and when security saw this, they called the police. They called the police because this happened during our school's annual concert festival, and I guess campus security wasn't down to handle a brew crime, and I don't blame them. Upon the police arriving, Peaches took off into the woods, and the police chased him down for an hour. They finally got him and gave him nothing more than a talking to. The washing machine was cleaned out. How was it not replaced? And life went back to normal.
Ew.
9 years later, it's still one of my favorite brew stories, and Peaches is married and sober. Live, laugh, brew. Peaches is my favorite.
I was like,
Peaches on the tray is wild.
Yeah.
And deserving of the nickname Peaches.
The whole thing, I mean, what comes to mind to me is just like all the rinses of water that have gone through that washing machine post brew.
Yeah.
And I swear my clothes were never uglier than in college because of their shitty machines.
Yeah. Everyone has now doused themselves in Peaches brew.
It seems like it's a huge brew too, because it makes it seem as though it's like filling the the washer.
Like, an explosive Molly brew in a washing machine that required 4 pop cars to arrive at the scene and chase down Peaches. Ran into the woods. You don't run into the woods if you just like logged in the machine.
No. Peaches left something.
He left a Jackson Pollock.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you for being my guest. Thank you for this beautiful arc.
I appreciate it. The arc de triomphe.
The arc de triomphe. We will be doing a bonus episode. So if you're on the Patreon,
shell out your coins to hear one last bit of me.
Yeah, sign up.
I'm gonna be super sexy on the bonus.
Oh, I love. I can't wait to get erotic on the bonus app.
Yeah.
Follow the podcast, at Babe Podcast on Instagram. Write emails, reader mail to babepodcast@gmail.com. And if you enjoy this podcast, subscribe in iTunes, give it a 5-star rating, and leave like just a 1-sentence review.
Hot
is fun. All you have to say. So fun.
Smart.
Hot, fun, smart, sexy, delicious.
Delicious.
Just brew. I dare someone to write yummy as their review.
Yum.
Because that's sick. All right. And follow Tierney at TSTAR7.
Seven.
It's your lucky number, bitch.
Yeah, bitch. I'm born on the 28th. Multiples. Bye.
Bye.